What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Box Out Boys podcast. We are the NBA podcast of the people, your home for lukewarm takes and substandard analysis. I'm Titus Two Shots Dominguez, and with me as always is Chris the Stats Man Gorman.
Hey,
hit him with the stats, Chris. Hey. What is your stat this week?
My stat, hey, my stat of the week is, all right, so Tobias Harris, he has made $211 million in his NBA career. That is a lot of money, right? It's also the most money ever made in NBA history by a player who has never made an all-star team. The all-you-can-have-him MVP, Tobias Harris.
Oh, all he got paid team.
Catching strays on a Wednesday.
Catching strays. Wow, Philly's still catching strays. And that silky voice belongs to the lawn boss, Joey McCroskey. Get that, Joe!
Hello.
Hello.
Get that, Joe. I'll do it for myself. Chris missed it. Sorry. Get that, Joe.
Chris is still thinking about his walk around the Six Flags.
So much fun. You guys should have been there.
It would have been nice.
We didn't get invited to that one.
Sounds like a good time. I didn't get a text a half hour before. I needed to be in Monday.
He still would have showed up.
Yeah, you're right, but it would have been nice to be at.
The thought is it's the thought that counts. Yeah.
The thought that counts. I thought about
so
going.
You know that I matter.
Folks, we have a great show for you. I promise it's not just going to be our personal bickering about who invited who when, how long they were in town, when they arrived, and when they let us know they arrived. It won't be all of that. We do have some basketball topics to talk about. We're going to talk about the new additions to the teams here in this young season. Who's been making the biggest impact on their new team? We're going to talk about some Bulls drama. Opening night spat, and then in the locker room, and a little bit of a rough start. I mean, even though the record isn't terrible, but we're going to talk about our C Red Bulls, and then Joey's got a nice new segment for us, the Coach's Challenge. He's going to give us a couple of topics. We're going to either uphold his opinion, his take, or we're going to deny
overturn.
It? Man, overturn. Why am I having struggling overturn. With these? Overturn it. I feel like I'm going to overturn everything. No, I'm just kidding. We got a nice show for you tonight. All right, let's go ahead and get started with some new additions. So, yeah, there it is. Obviously, there's been a lot of new players moving around, big trades over the offseason. We could probably start with maybe the biggest trade of the offseason, the Damian Lillard trade. He is in Milwaukee right now. Chris, how has Dame time been working out in Milwaukee? Obviously, a great start, great opening night game, but how's it been so far?
Yeah, no, ever since the opening night game, it's kind of been a mixed bag. You get good Dame, you get bad Dame, you get those are the two Dames. There's a good Dame and there's a bad Dame. Tonight, game is over, so we can talk real quick. So in the first game, he got 39 points, then he got six, then he got 25. Tonight, he got 15. Two good games, two bad games. The Bucks are also 2-2. The key point I want to point out with this Dame trade is that you're going to get a lot of variance, and because he puts on a great show, and I think a lot of people who don't watch basketball as often as we do, I like to think that we do, don't realize like Dame is a very highlight reels kind of player, and that when he's bad, he's so bad because he doesn't give you anything really well defensively to stay in front of that. And the Bucks are truly missing what they had with Jrue Holiday. They're currently ranked 25th in defensive rating overall in the league, which, again, we're four games through, but still, that's 25th is crazy.
Yeah,
Nuggets are second. The Clips are first. Timberwolves are eighth. I want to call that out. So this Dame trade, like,
got tickets.
The question of are they actually better with him than when they had Jrue Holiday is kind of a more serious question than just kind of trolley. So, my opinion.
I don't think you're crazy. Obviously, the great start, 39 points in the debut. That's what you want to see. But then he was a negative 29 in that loss to Atlanta, where he scored 6 points. So, a negative 29 that's not a great look at all. Again,
that's
a nice
stat.
Then he back.
He was minus 26 tonight.
So, in these losses, he is an issue. a nice win over Miami. Obviously, the team that he was in rumor to be traded to all season or all off season. So that was kind of obviously showed up for that one. But I'm kind of with you a little bit, Chris. I mean, the highs are high, certainly. And I think maybe in Portland, he wasn't under the scrutiny he's going to be in Milwaukee. It's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen going forward. Joey, do you have any thoughts on Dame? Have you caught any of the Dame games yet? Or, you know, you're just kind of hearing what you hear through osmosis? Yeah,
no, I think I think the scrutiny is warranted. And I think you're right that he's going to get more. It's going to have more pressure on him, right? Because
yeah, because they're a championship contender.
He forced his way out of here or out of Portland. You know, Giannis made the pitch that you need to do something to make us a championship team, and then this was considered to be the thing. And you know, they've kind of pushed out there that this is it. So this is obviously, you know, night one was the storybook opening comes out. It looks exactly like what you would have expected it was going to look like. You know, it was Dame time and the watches were being tapped and everything was glorious. But if that doesn't keep up, you know, if he's going to mix in 30-point games and 6-point games, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
And to get out of this one without, you know, getting some black.
Yeah, I mean, a negative or minus 29 and a minus 26 in those two losses is going to be big. It's going to stick out. So definitely an issue. Joey, you had been looking at Kristaps, correct?
I did. I took a little gander at Kristaps because you threw out some names. I took a little bit of a look at Wembanyama. Not a ton because I'm not in love yet. But I took a look for Porzingis, and he kind of had the outburst in their first game. That was kind of the, hey, is this this what the Celtics have been missing this entire time? And then I kind of heard the comparison, like, you forget the Porzingis is 7'3".
Yeah.
he's basically Wembanyama before Wembanyama. So I took a look and I was just kind of, you know, watching some clips and I caught a decent chunk of one of their games. And it kind of made me think, like, what was Boston's biggest problem last year when, like, they got in a tough situation or a close game at the end of regulation, right? It was Tatum and Brown kind of forcing everything. It was like they would just get into this shooting match where the two of them would just dribble ISO. Maybe there'd be one pass, you know, because Marcus Smart actually was not a point guard as much as they wanted him to be. And it was just those two guys. And it was like you knew what those two guys could do. And if you took out, you know, one of their options, you know, you knew exactly where the next option was going to be. And, you know, watching Porzingis, and he's kind of had maybe a Dame-like start where there's been, like, I think two really good games and one kind of mediocre-ish game. But for a guy of his size, if he can stay healthy, he gives them that, like, alternate dimension, like a flexibility piece that they previously didn't have. And kind of that, like, you know, floor stretching and that alternative outlet that they were missing at like, kind of key moments last year for their season. So I was kind of thinking, like, in terms of an addition, you know, and there were a lot of people that were still saying the Celtics were the favorite for the title. And I was kind of like, how, like, you know, Dame and Giannis seems like a much more formidable duo than Brown, Tatum. And then, like, hey, Porzingis, because Porzingis has been out of, like, being a household name for 5 years. Like, you know, he was a big name the first year in New York and then that was it. So I don't know. I was impressed by him and I was impressed with the way that they worked him into their team and their game. So, out of the three you threw out, I think Porzingis might be my top new addition out of that grouping.
Yeah, no, and he does seem to fit kind of what they didn't have, which is, like, you know, a legit big man scorer. He can also stretch the floor. He's a big body in the paint for them. So he hasn't really had any issues with transitioning into their offense like some people were predicting. Plus they also added Jrue Holiday too to their team, so they have several new additions that are kind of working in. Even though Jrue hasn't had the spectacular offensive performances, he doesn't really need it for that team in particular. But Kristaps has been fairly solid, and the games I have caught of Boston, they're one of the teams we watch a lot around here. he has been good. So Chris, did you have any thoughts on Kristaps?
I have no thoughts on Kristaps so far. I've avoided Boston admittedly, and I don't really care to watch them right now. I understand, you know, Drew Holiday maybe should be a focus for myself, but they're killing it against Pacers right now. Game talk. Sorry. 150 points almost, but
jeez.
I'll have a stronger opinion. I trust what Joey is saying on Porzingis, and
yeah.
The biggest question is not it's not his talent, it's just can he play
it's gonna be
60
hell.
Games. Yeah. So
absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
That's definitely him. But yeah, if he is playing, it was definitely a good new addition. And the other guy we were really looking at was Wembanyama, a different type of addition. Obviously, a new player in the league, not a transfer guy, but not necessarily a wild start. He had 15 points in his debut, 21 is his season high so far against Houston. They got waxed by the Clippers. He didn't seem like he played too much in that game. And then, obviously, the nice win, I believe it was last night against Phoenix there. He had 18 points in that game. So, I mean, I don't think that this is – it's really just kind of early for him, you know, and the Spurs aren't a great team, you know, by any means. They're not definitely not, you know, supposed to be winning many games this season, even with Wembanyama. But they certainly look like they're going to be exciting this year, at least fun to watch, appointment viewing for a lot of people just to get a look at Wembanyama. I mean, have you guys been, you know, at all impressed by him? Or are you kind of still in wait and see mode with him? I know, Joey, I don't know if you're like you said, you're not quite sold on Wembanyama, I guess, right? Or
yeah, kinda... I think I'm still kind of wait and see. Like, obviously, yeah. he's a freak in terms of stature and whatnot, but
yeah,
I don't know. Like, he seems, for all the things that he can do, he seems like he's still maybe slightly timid at moments. And it may just be because there's not a lot of other, like, I mean, all the pressure is on him. So if you watch a Spurs game, like I watched last night's game for a while, I wasn't watching anything in that Spurs Suns game except for Wembanyama. It was all just wherever he was on the floor, I was just watching him. I wasn't watching the ball kind of thing. So that could be a little bit of why maybe it seems underwhelming. But again, small sample size. But if you look at like the stats against Brandon Miller, who went second, Brandon Miller looks like he's having a better season in terms of like on paper. Just in terms of points per game and, you know, win shares and field goal percentage and all this stuff. And I'm not saying Brandon Miller is ever going to be, you know, long-term wise, but for the guy who was supposed to come in and be amazing, he's not bad, but he's not amazing yet. And that's not saying he's not going to get there, but in terms of like the best new addition.
Yeah. Right. He's not.
Four games in, he's not the best new addition. 10 games in, he probably will be the best new addition easily. And again, you don't want him, if you're the Spurs, you don't want him to be the greatest player of all time right now. You want that to come in like 4 years when the Spurs have been bad long enough to get your draft picks and get some pieces together.
Yeah.
When it actually matters. It does them no good if they're a six seed this year and they have to play the Nuggets and get destroyed, right? That doesn't do anything for them.
No, he's certainly, one of the, if not one of the most touted prospects of all time. So, Chris, any Wemby thoughts? Or are you still kind of?
You're
big on Wemby.
Yeah, right? I'm way bigger on Wemby. I was very pessimistic going in. I thought he'd get hurt right away. Seeing him flex into a pretzel, maybe helped a little bit, and seeing him actually play pretty well has been nice. He's 19, 18. I always like to play the age.
Yeah, he's a young kid. Age.
Yeah, he's a young guy. And everyone's watching him, as they should. But I think he's going to be all right. I think the concerns I had with him of, you know, kind of being a little busty, kind of like a bull. Okay, so like Shaq compared him to Bull Bull the other night in that Phoenix game. Bull Bull didn't even play. Like, what are we doing comparing Wembanyama to a guy that didn't even play just because they're the same size and, you know, they're both super skinny? So I was a little disappointed to hear that from Shaq, but like, I like Wemby. I think he's going to be great. I kind of like that he has this slower approach. The fact that he went to San Antonio, if he went to like Charlotte or Portland or whoever else, you know, could have had that, Detroit. I think I'd be a lot more concerned than I like this guy's gonna work out, I think.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
San Antonio was definitely a good place for him. So definitely a lot of new additions across the league. We'll be keeping our eyes on it, see who's improving their team going out throughout the season here. A team that hasn't had a greatest start, our boy Joey's repped out for sure. seeing red, the Chicago Bulls, although, you know, it's really weird. Not a great start, but 2-2, so not bad. I think the weirdest thing of the past week has been that they had a players-only meeting-ish type thing happen at the end of game one. Voices were raised is how it was kind of said in the media, and that Billy Donovan asked him if they needed a minute, you know, and kind of gave him some time. Certainly a little interesting. I still don't really know how I feel about that. The first or two tough losses early on, and then obviously the kind of the buzzer beater win there by Caruso, or not buzzer beater, you know, like close win with a shot by Caruso, and then a nice win over Indiana, nice comeback. Win to keep them 2-2, but overall, a little shaky early on. Joey, what is your thoughts here about the Bulls? Is it as shaky as we think, or is their record a little more true of who they are? Where are you at with this? Where are you at with the meeting thing?
Yeah, it's not as shaky as we think. They're a 500 team at their best, right? Like,
yeah,
at their absolute best as they're constructed, they're a 500 team. They're 2-2. They're going to win some games that they probably shouldn't win, i.e. the Toronto game, and they're going to lose some games that they probably should win, right? Yeah. Detroit, Oklahoma City, they that was flat in the face. But so, like, I'm not super concerned that they lost two games and they won two games. Like, I think that's exactly where they're going to be. I'm trying not to emotionally attach to some of these losses that are inevitably going to happen. the players-only meeting, I don't mind it, and I don't mind it because to me it seemed like it was something like it happened once last year when they got blown out in Minnesota, and there was a rumblings like their little players only meeting that happened at a point in the season where like the season was kind of already gone, and all off season they talked about, you know, they didn't have like a cohesive unit. They didn't feel like last year, and they had some guys who just weren't in it together. And they had some stuff that they weren't like comfortable with. And they talked about this off season, like, we're going to fix that. They went to do their training camp in Nashville, and they felt like they had this better, you know, unit. And they brought in the veterans, Torrey Craig, Javon Carter, to kind of like, hey, here's some more like vocal guys. They touted Coby White has been, you know, more vocal and in a leadership role and whatnot. So, to me, it was like we talked about all of these things being better, and we got in a tough spot in this Oklahoma City game, and we fell right back to all the stuff that we were doing last year that we knew wasn't right. You know, our effort dropped when we got punched in the face. We stopped going inside to Vooch, and he was having a good game. I mean, Vooch got pissed in that game, right? On the court, he got in Billy Donovan's face. Have you ever seen Nikola Vucevic, like, get mad in a game? He just kind of, like, disappears. He doesn't, like, vocally, you know, outwardly show that. So I'm not like wildly concerned about the players only meeting. Like, I think, you know, whatever. I don't know if it was, you can even consider it that, but whatever. That doesn't bother me as much. What bothers me is that Patrick Williams is still not the guy for your team. He hasn't played barely in a fourth quarter out of these first four games. He sat entire fourth quarters in close games, especially against Toronto. I don't think he played a minute. Caruso played with five fouls for like 6 minutes in that game. And then the Detroit game, Patrick Williams and Coby White both had 0 points. And Chris, you can counter at me all you want with Zach and his zero assists and whatnot. But, you know, you can't have two guys who are starters off your team have 0 points in like 26 minutes, right? It wasn't like they both played 15 minutes and just getting like, 0 points in 20 plus minutes of gameplay is just not, you know, you can't have that. And it's not like, again, that they're not coming off of games where they had like, they didn't have great games against Toronto, right? Yes, Toronto went to overtime. So like they were a little bit tired, but they didn't have these massive games where like, okay, it was a bit of a downside. Like they've just been mediocre at best. That to me is the bigger concern. DeMar, Vooch, and Zach have been what they are. Zach has not been as efficient as probably as he would like, but you know, you're still getting 20-ish points a game out of him. DeMar's doing his thing. Vooch is doing his thing. So to me, it's Coby and Patrick Williams still, and I think a little bit is still on Billy Donovan as the coach of having to get these guys set up the right way to go out and compete on a nightly basis.
Chris, what are you seeing?
My calm, non-emotional approach to them.
I think I understand, Joey. I love you. But Zach's got to go.
Okay. You're at
what are we
Zach's
doing here?
Go.
51 points, zero assists, and they lose by 14? Get out of here. Like, I am so tired of seeing Zach do iso ball, not initiate an offense, and not create cohesion to have players actually move around. Kobe and Patrick don't know where to go on the court. They have Zach LaVine just doing iso one-on-one against Cade Cunningham, who's you know, he didn't really play last year in rookie year or the year before, but he's probably one of the best defenders in the league, like, just considering his size. Just considering his size.
Just
so,
considering
like,
his size.
He's certainly one
of the bigger point guards in the league.
So, I like the trade idea for Zach LaVine. I am so out on the Bulls. I have shorted them as much as I can in the sense that I bet against, you know, their win total. And I've recommended that win total to my gambling addict friend of mine. So, and he's on board as well.
Top off.
So, he was there.
He was there.
Bro.
Okay. So,
I stayed at his place too.
Big shout out.
Big shout
out. You do a podcast with him. I feel like I'm in the middle a little bit because, I mean, like, for seasons long, I've said I'm done with the DeMar and Zach thing whenever these guys are ready. Like, whenever we're ready, we can move on to the next phase of the Bulls. But if they're going to do it, I'm going to try to enjoy it, like, kind of to Joey's side. Like, if they're still going to be this sort of mid-mediocre team, you know, it's at least entertaining and fun to watch at times, even though it's incredibly frustrating. There is stuff where I've been trying to watch the Bulls with a different eye as far as, is this coaching or is this talent, you know? And there is some stuff where I look at it and I go, all right, that's got to be coaching. There's no movement on this offense right now. But there is defensive stuff where I'm like, all right, that's on Zach or that's on somebody for not making a rotation. That's not necessarily, you know, a coaching issue. And I think that's where I really don't know exactly what the issue is with the Bulls right now. I think they're just a mediocre team, like Joey was saying. Joey, any other thoughts on these guys?
Yeah. The zero assist thing, like, you obviously didn't watch that entire game, so it's kind of hard to have zero assists when two guys on your team put up shots and don't make any of their shots, right? When two of your starters have 0 points, it's kind of hard to gain assists in that.
Yeah, that's fair. They went 0-7. Yeah,
tough, right?
I mean, Zach took like 45% of all shots that were taken as a team in that game too.
Yeah,
and like, you know how like in rhythm, you know,
if you're watching two of your scorers not score, wouldn't you be like, well, shit, someone's got to score some points tonight, so I'm just gonna get my shots up and see what happens.
That's an argument. That's fair. I think there's another part of it where it could be that like people like Kobe and Pat don't know the rhythm of Zach. Like, they're trying to figure out, like, you know how like
that's they've been his teammate their entire careers.
Zach is an interesting. I really don't think Zach's all that good. I think that's my.
Oh man,
I just don't think he's that good.
They're not like losing.
No, they're not losing because of Zach. I understand
losing games because of Zach.
No, and that's not. But
I think everybody wants. So like the like Chris's comments.
Oh, I don't agree with that either. Yeah, I don't think they're losing because of him, but I think
it's
he's
like,
a good enough trade perfect, asset to get him out. Yeah,
he's the perfect like catalyst of this conversation, right? It's like you either want Zach to be like do more, right? You're not aggressive enough. Then he goes out and he scores 51 and doesn't pass the ball at all. And then it's like, well, shit, you scored 51, you lost by 14, you had no assists. Like, oh, you're not a team player. Like, and again, those are both valid like points, but I think he's just that perfect like lightning rod for that conversation because he doesn't do it like in a consistent like fashion and he doesn't take over games. It's just kind of like he had 51, but if you watch that game, you wouldn't have been able to be like, dude, this guy's on a heater right now, right? I noticed it and I texted you guys and said, shit, Zach's on a heater.
Yeah, remember that. Yeah.
I watch and right, but like he's just that player that like no matter what he does, unless the Bulls become good, you're never going to feel like strongly one way or another. You're just kind of going to be like in or out on them.
Kind of reminded me of Booker's 71.
Yeah. Yeah. but absolutely just, had those vibes.
It was just 51. Yeah.
It's just 51. I think, you know, kind of in that text exchange you guys had in the group chat there, Chris said, you know, it was a good stats or bad team game. And that to me is like what Zach is. He's a really good player. He's going to get really good numbers, but it's just not going to matter all that much. And which is weird. Like, that's the thing I don't understand. Like, I don't understand how this guy can't, why he doesn't matter as much. You know what I mean? Because even when it really comes down to crunch time, it's DeMar or Caruso making like the clutch shots. You never, it's not so much like Zach taking over a game, like you're saying, Joe. You don't notice it where like, dude, this guy is just unstoppable right now, getting to anywhere he wants on the court. He just doesn't have those moments for me. And that's where I look at it and I go, I think he's, you know, a fine NBA player. I think he's, you know, a great basketball player in that sense, you know, for the world, he's a great basketball player. But when it comes to the NBA, like, is he going to be a guy that's, you know, a number one on a championship team or even a two? I don't think so. I think he's a three on a championship team, like, best case scenario. You know what I mean?
He could be good for LA.
Yeah.
You know, another team, Brooklyn. Sorry, let's not go.
We won't go to fake trades until the season completely blows up. But it is, we'll see. We'll see if it's fast approaching.
They're not going to trade them.
No, they won't.
They're not. They won't.
They should, but they won't.
It's a It'd be a terrible look for them as an organization.
Eh. Yeah. Yeah, Randstorff doesn't trade.
I mean, it's the first time they've given somebody money, right? Like, and Zach said it today during shoot around. He was like, I don't know. I feel like I've done my part, like, being loyal. So I don't feel like
Dang
they
it.
Trade me.
He's really not getting traded. Oh, man.
He's not. They're not going to trade him.
I've been on the record. And again, I know Zach's kind of turned into like a hot button issue where he's almost the new Kobe White for us. Where it's just
Kobe's
like,
good now. Have I been validated on Kobe?
Maybe. He's all right.
He's getting more minutes over Io. Io looks
getting minutes. That doesn't mean he's
himself.
yeah, getting minutes on the Bulls.
You've been watching Io, right? Like, he hasn't really been.
I haven't even been hearing his name. You know?
No, Io has changed his game, and he's doing what he should be doing as the caliber player he is. He's becoming like a little mini Caruso.
All right, we'll have to lock in.
Caruso is going to take Kobe's. Caruso's going to take Kobe's starting job here soon.
Okay. All right.
That's Michael.
Damn it! I lost my Zach point. No, I was on the record before. I don't think they should have paid him. Like I was a firm. Don't pay this guy. I will be a firm. Trade this guy. I will be till the end. But that's not going to happen. Yeah.
There was no solution. There was no solution for that option, though.
Yeah, no, and
still
I understand.
No solution.
Yeah,
there's still no solution for him. And that's why they're not going to trade him.
Yeah,
because they trade him, they don't get any better. They stay exactly the same.
No, my whole argument for the whole entire thing is
to get
you're
really
not
bad,
gonna get, yeah to get really bad yeah. So
yes,
and they're not ready to do that. And they won't. So they're just fine.
If the conversation is we trade Zach and we also trade DeMar and Vooch and Caruso, then I'm in. Right? That's fine.
Yeah,
but it can't just be one of them, because one of them and replacing them with the same kind of player isn't going to do you any different.
No, if it was a one person, I would be like, all right, trade DeMar. Trade DeMar, give Zach the keys. You know, we got to keep Caruso and Vooch. It's fine. All right. And try to get some pieces, some shooters around Zach. So, yeah, somebody to pass to.
Not Torrey Craig.
So, all right. Well, we got a nice, fun segment here. Joey's come up with. He's going to give us the coach's challenge. Give us a little explanation here, Chris. Jesus, Joey.
All right. Segment's called Coach's Challenge. Basically, I'm the coach. I've identified something through the week that I've seen that I believe is true and accurate, and I think you guys may have trouble deciding on, right? I don't know which way you would lean. So I'm going to present the challenge and say, I've seen something, this is what I believe, and I want you guys to either uphold my thought in the call or overturn it, confirm it or overturn it, all right?
We're going to go to Secaucus now?
Yes, we're going to Secaucus. We're going to Steve Javi, and we're going to see what's going on here. So my first thought, Los Angeles Clippers, the Clips, did not get any better trading for James Harden.
Clips is delicious.
A crisp clips.
A crisp clips in the morning is what I like to start my day with. I'll take this one to start. I'm going to overturn this. I think they got better. I think this is a big deal. Known Harden hater. I hate him. I don't like him. I think he's a cancer to his team.
Is there anybody like, just sidebar?
Steph Curry.
Is there any player you actually
Giannis.
Okay.
Jokic. Okay. Jamal Murray.
You like Vooch. You like the Vooch trade, too.
I did like the Vooch trade. Yeah. I don't hate Vooch. He's just not good. All right. I am a known Harden hater, so that's why I want to say this. But he still led the league in assists last year. He's still a playmaker. That team has been very solid so far, leading the league in net rating right now, early or very, very early. But I don't know. I think that if they're healthy this year, they're fairly deep. They got some guys on their team. You know, Kawhi's playing right now. Paul George is playing right now. Westbrook has been solid. He'll probably go to the bench. You add a guy of Harden's level. I know he's not, I know he's not the guy he once was, certainly, but he's going to be the number three on that team for sure. So that's another place that might be good for him. You know, not being a second or a first guy like he's been on his other teams. And I think he's going to have plenty of guys to get the ball to. And if he's willing to accept that role, I like this for the Clippers. I think they got what they wanted. You know what I mean? Miami didn't get their guy, but they got the guy they wanted. They didn't give up Torrey Mann or Terrence
Mann.
So, Torrey Mann. I think you said Torrey Craig a minute ago, and they got my brain. Chris, what do you think, man?
They are no better. Okay, so like, remember when when Harden went to Brooklyn, the question was like, there's not enough ball to go around between him, Kyrie, and Durant. Now he goes to LA where there's Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and Russell Westbrook, and also Bones Highland, by the way, is getting minutes with this team. He's getting 17, got 17 points in their last game. There's one ball. Harden gives you nothing defensively. We were talking about that with Damian Lillard. Sure. Harden is a turnstile on defense. And I'm a fan of the big men. Zubac is their best big man. And Zubac is not the big man that'll take you to the promised land. So I am out on the Clips. I'm not buying my Clips.
So you're confirming this call.
On sale. I am confirming Joey's call.
Confirming the call. I have overturned it. I mean, the Nets offense was. The call is upheld. All right. We will see how this plays out throughout the season. I'm the Stan Van Gundy of the broadcast here, saying my prediction on the call to have it not go my way.
I think this team is better if it was like, 3-4 years ago. I think this is,
true.
This is a little late to the party to try and piece it all together. I don't hate them trying it, but I don't.
I hate it.
I don't think they're winning anything, but it's one of those things where it makes me go, okay, let's see.
I thought they were a first round exit before this. I think they're a first round exit.
No, they're going to be a second round exit now. With Harden.
Who are they? They're not beating anybody.
Just more making a joke for in the world. Round. All right. What's your next challenge,
all right,
Joey?
A second coach's challenge. All right. So I've used one. It was upheld. So I still have another challenge. And I'm going to use it on. Hey, that might be fun how we do this. If you guys we can uphold the first one, I get two. All right.
That would be really
fun. I like that. Yeah.
So my second coach's challenge is the Grizzlies at 0-4 will not make the playoffs this year. And I'm considering playoffs sans play-in. So, they're not going to be top eight, before the play-in.
Okay. And when they won't make the actual bracket.
Yeah.
That's what I think we should call it. The bracket. They won't make the bracket.
Yeah.
That's the final 16 teams. Chris, you got a thought?
I'll go first on this. Yeah, I really wanted to go against this one because I upheld Joey's previous one. The more I thought about it, I watched some I watched some Grizzlies games. They don't look that bad. Bane's been putting up 30 points in, I think, 3 of 4 games, and they still lose. But they also have lost a lot of guys. The biggest thing about this team that isn't talked about is, beyond just John Morant being gone, is the fact that Tyus Jones is no longer on this team as well. He's their backup point guard who is
tough loss.
Again, 20 minutes a game. Yeah, tough loss. They don't even know who the fuck that guy is.
Tough loss. Backup point guard. I know who that guy is.
And Steven Adams. Steven Adams out for the season, too.
Steven Adams out for the season.
Yeah, that. I didn't think that mattered as much because with Tillman, Clark, and Jackson. Actually, is Clark hurt too? Oh, Clark, I think, is gone for the season too, Brandon Clark. So it's just Tillman. Yeah.
They have multiple injuries. Yeah.
This is a lost season for the Grizzlies. I upheld Joey's call here.
As a Memphis believer and a Ja fan, I really want Ja, the guy I like in the league. I really wanted to overturn this call, and then I looked at the standings. And I'm like, I don't see it. I don't see who's falling out. I think there's 10. So when I was looking at it, I think I was making the playoffs the 10 teams that play in and the playoff teams. And I looked at, there's one spot left. I think I feel like all the teams that are in the top 10 right now are there, except for one team is kind of a spot that I think is open. And I think it's going to be between, Memphis, Minnesota, and the Pelicans. I think those are the three teams that are going to fight for that last play-in spot. And I just don't see Memphis doing enough over those other two teams. I think Minnesota's going to be good, and I think the Pelicans are going to be good. So. Or good enough, I should say. That then I had to confirm the call. I don't see it. I don't see it right now.
I think my biggest concern is that they might fall into too deep of a hole that Ja comes back. It's going to be too little too late. I mean, I know it's only 25 games, which it's not massive. I mean, he's missed 20 games a season ago, and they played pretty good without him, but they're not the same team that they were those years. Marcus Smart is not. He's not
Tyus Jones. There's so much Marcus Smart in those games.
Yeah, it's too much.
It's too much of him.
Yeah, it's too much. They don't have the same swagger that they're kind of used to, and you know, I feel like they're going to get in a hole. And I like what you said, Titus. I think this season might be a lost season for them, and they just need to make sure Ja comes back and stops being stupid. All right, cool. I'm 2 for 2 on the coach's challenge. I like this.
Wow, it was a good segment.
We should. I'll keep on. Yeah, you can keep a record on this.
All right, Joey's 2-0 in the coach's challenge.
Yeah, 2-0. I said 2-2. Oh. Terrible record.
Well, I don't know.
2-2.
How do we? We'll have to talk about how we want to.
3 votes.
I mean, my vote is always in favor. So if I can convince one of you, or if I get one of you on board, that's a win. Or maybe not. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. But great new segment. Great show from you guys. Obviously, be more to talk about next week. Our Bulls are in a heated one right now with the Mavericks, so we'll be talking about that.
If we're going to talk game talk, Timberwolves are up 99-76 over the defending champs right now at Minnesota. So, Minnesota is the toughest opponent against Denver, by the way.
Yeah, they are.
We know that, right?
Denver's not
going to
win.
Coach's Jen.
That's all right. I got Coach's Challenge next week. We're going to talk about that. Let's go. Preview for next week.
Chris trolls us and coaches.
Stole my segment.
Hijacks his segment. I like your segment.
I got coaches on next week.
He's not a troll.
Not a troll. You know what? Just let me know when you go to Six Flags next time so I can.
I'm good. You can leave me off that message now. It's over. It's over between us.
I want to be able to decline.
It's a great time. Yeah, miss it out.
Long we know we didn't get invited. Maybe we would have came. I love Six Flags.
I could have been there. Who knows? Well, that is it for us today. Follow us on social media at the Max Out Boys. Slide in those DMs. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on YouTube and Spotify. We very much appreciate that. So until next time, a box out.